Es The Ruckus Ventiros. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Ruckus. It's been a long time. I'm Justin.
And I'm Rachel.
Welcome back. We missed you terribly.
And we missed ourselves.
We missed ourselves terribly, terribly. But everywhere I went, there I was. So I don't know. How did you feel?
I felt somehow detached from everything.
Oh, all that time away from our Ruckus audience. And we actually blink out of existence when people aren't listening to the podcast. So please, for the love of God, continue downloading. I have a project I want to finish. So, Rachel, why haven't we been recording Ruckus episodes? What's been keeping us from the hot, hot microphones?
Well, I think that this time we have an incredibly busy schedule to blame, namely yours.
I have been incredibly busy lately. I just wrapped up on a play entitled A Murder Is Announced. It only ran for 2 weeks. And required about 70 months of rehearsal time.
I know, I never saw you.
And then we've got, you know, school and work and all that. So, yes, it's been a very busy time for me here at the Ruckus Studios. I've been very busy with extracurriculars. But I promise, as my oath to you, fair Ruckus listeners, and to you, Rachel, fair Ruckus co-host.
Thank you, Justin.
I shall not ever do anything non-Ruckus related ever again.
Wow, that's quite a commitment.
It's more than I can actually deliver.
I was wondering that when you said it.
Yes. So, hopefully we'll get back on a regular schedule now that the play is over and now that I have a little bit more free time. And we will be able to do more episodes.
Yes, well, the weather will certainly keep us in.
Yes, well, tell the good people about our wonderful weather. I think that last time we did an episode, I don't remember, it was a long time ago. But I think we were just going on about, I don't know what they're talking about. This weather is so beautiful, and it's so sunshiny, and it's so wonderful.
Our last episode was absolutely ages ago. When we moved to beautiful Portland, Oregon, it was July, and it was the summertime. It is now, what are we, like nearly in mid-November? And all this doom and gloom that people warned us about when we lived in California, we said we're moving to Portland. They were like, what? All it does is rain. And so it's doomy and gloomy. It's happening. It's been almost every single day, pretty much, has been overcast. And there's always been rain of some kind. And we're expecting, actually, 3.5 inches of rain in October. And now that we're in November, there'll be a jump to 6.5 inches of rain. And it'll be like that for the next 3 months.
I'm not exactly sure why we do daylight savings time in Oregon.
That's made it worse here, too.
Yeah.
It gets dark so early.
And it's dark anyway, and now that it's an hour different, it's like the middle of the night. It looks like the middle of the night when I drive home from work.
Yeah, and it gets dark like at 5 o'clock on the nose, and it's pitch black outside, and so that's a little bit hard to deal with. But I don't think that the rain is terrible. It doesn't bother me. I've been enjoying it.
The rain doesn't bother me either, but it does bother me that people drive like shit. And I actually work far away enough from home that I notice it when I drive. The darkness and the rain, people driving slowly. People out here in Oregon, if you come to Oregon, pay attention, because the people here drive horribly. They drive so slow. So it's not that they drive horribly, it's just that they drive so damn slow.
See, I drive like a grandma. The way people drive out here doesn't bother me.
Oh, it bothers me.
I'll take it over LA any day of the week.
They certainly both have their issues, but... Man, guys, 25, just because it says that's the speed limit, that's you should be at least doing 25 if it says 25. All right, well, I won't harp on this. So something just occurred to me. One of our Ruckus listeners, we have Ruckettes out there in the world constantly listening and giving us news feeds and feedback. And they
we
also
have friends.
They feed us sometimes. Mm-hmm. Ruckus listener Gail Box has mentioned that we don't say the date, or she doesn't know when they're actually posted, because sometimes we record them and then
Oh, leave it to the scientist. She wants it all properly documented.
She wants it categorized.
And accounted for.
So the date today is what?
Veterans Day.
It is Veterans Day.
November the 11th.
Of 2008. So there you go. Just for you. Mark
Just
your calendar.
Just for you, Gail. Thanks for the cookies.
We'd like to just take a couple moments just to talk to Gail. So if anybody listening, could you guys just turn away, because we actually have something very private to tell her.
No, I will open this invitation up to any listener. If you want to send us cookies, we will call out your name and say thanks for the cookies.
Okay.
So yeah, send us cookies.
Well, speaking of our friends, we actually, I don't know, a lot of people think that they have like, oh, my friends are so great. I actually, this is all anecdotal, but still scientific. I'm pretty certain that the ruckus actually has the coolest friends out of anybody living.
Oh.
We got a... It's been a good day
for us. In the
mail
it has.
Yes, we got delivered to us today ruckus t-shirts.
Yes, courtesy of... Ake, I think, is what she's calling her company.
www.akestuff.com. It's mm-hmm. like a tummy ache, A-C-H-E.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's going more of a heartache kind of.
My dear friend Bella
yes.
made us ruckus t-shirts and a ruckus tote.
Yes, yes. So we'll take a picture of us wearing our ruckus t-shirts and we'll post it on there. So yes, we were very excited about that, very ecstatic. And we also got from Josh and Steph a chalkboard hand.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's like a sculpture in the shape of a hand, and you hang it from your wall, and it sticks straight out, and it's covered in chalk material. Really fabulous. It's the most unique present I've ever received.
The most unique present I ever received was when my mom sent me, like, 9 cans of soda in the mail.
I liked it when she sent you, like, 20 used old man belts.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And hangers.
Too. Yes, hangers.
And not just like the nice hangers you buy, but like the hangers that like the clothes come on when you buy them from the store.
Yeah, she pulled them out of the closet on the hanger. Okay, so yeah, we got a lot of gifts. Our friends are better than yours, haha. And unless you are our friends, then you have us for friends. So actually, you beat us. That's yes, you have the best friends of all.
You do. You win. Ta-da!
I retract my previous statements. So, Rachel?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you go ahead
Justin.
And slap me across the face with a news story?
Well, okay. I have some local Oregon news for you today, Justin. And it's all about freedom of speech and Oregon. And a little graphic novel, a tender, loving, precious piece of graphic novel called The Book of Bunny Suicides, which has been near and dear to my heart since I first came across it. I'm sure you've heard of this book before.
I've heard of this book. I think I may even have heard of your news story you're about to read.
That's right, but we can pretend you haven't. We should keep all this in.
Well, I still think it's interesting. I think that you should go ahead and tell me.
Okay. That tickled me. a mother in the city of Central Lynn High School, I think in the city of West Lynn, has decided that her name is Taffy, by the way, Taffy Anderson. Her son checked out the Book of Bunny Suicides from the school library. She's deeply, deeply insulted and offended. Now, this book has pictures of... It's not real pictures. It's cute little drawings. Sort of like 101 Ways to Kill Your Cat or something like that. In that style. Very dark humor. And, the bunnies are hilarious. Like, they set a chair between a magnet store and a knife store. And they sit in it. And that's how they're going to commit suicide. I mean, that's funny. Or Death by Toaster, It's hilarious and silly, but the bunnies don't even look like real bunnies.
So what is the news? What's newsworthy about Taffy?
What's newsworthy about Taffy is she's deeply offended. She has written to the school board and asked for the book to be pulled from the library, and the school board wants to do at least look at her review, her request, but she has to return the book to the library in order for them to look at it. She refuses to do that. So now they have to go buy the book again to review it, and they're going to fine her for the fee, the $13, which she said she's not going to pay. And as a result of that, if that's what she really does, her son will never be able to check out a book at the school library ever again.
So this is a high school library?
High school library.
And she's refusing to return a book that she checked out because she objects to the material inside of it.
She refuses to return a book that her son checked out because she objects and she doesn't want anybody else to get their hands on it. That's how she's dealing with it. She's in total control. Not going to return it. Not going to pay the fees. Her son can't check out a book anymore. The end.
I have a hypothesis.
Hmm.
Now, this may be really outside of what you think.
Mm-hmm.
She just lost the book. This whole thing is just, she invented this whole fabrication just so she wouldn't have to return the book.
That's what it is, yeah. She's definitely off kilter, but now your story makes her even more off kilter.
Right, right. Yeah. Because what reasonable person would be that offended by a fucking Ziggy cartoon of a rabbit in a toaster? Grow up, lady.
Yeah, it's really weird. I feel bad for that kid, actually.
What she's trying to protect other potential library users from seeing these cartoons.
Yeah, and the thing is that I guess that there was like a reader's book list that recommends, this is one of many books that recommends school libraries purchase, so that kids who don't normally read will start to interact with books and will transition them to reading. So that's why they got it. But
Well, a lot of people on this planet are afraid of things, and they like to pretend that if we just turn our heads to the right slightly, those things no longer exist.
If she can control just one book,
then she will have controlled the book.
She will have saved the bunnies of the world. By the way, listeners, if you haven't seen this book, it's called The Book of Bunny Suicides. We recommend it. 2 thumbs up. Well, I don't know, Justin. I give it 1 thumb up. What do you give it?
I'll go ahead and I will reciprocate with the other thumb.
Oh,
I will,
yay.
The accompanying thumb. Your thumb will not stand alone, madam. Here, let my thumb cast its warmth upon yours. Shine within my mighty thumb shall it shine down upon thee, and thus it was good, and so forth and so on, ipso facto. Bunny Suicides is a good book.
Ta-da.
And I think this is the best press that book has ever gotten. And not that it needs it, because it's everywhere. I've seen it everywhere. Book of Bunny Suicides. They have a calendar now.
Yeah, I know.
You can see a different bunny death every day of the year.
And speaking of bunny suicides, let's hear your news article.
Speaking of bunny suicides, now here's an interesting news article. I don't like to dabble in politics too much here on The Ruckus.
Right.
But I felt like this was a very important news story that had to be heard.
And it is a political time.
It is a political time. We just had an election here.
Just here, though.
Just...
Nowhere else.
Here. And when I say here, I mean on this planet. We just had an election that just passed. I don't know if you guys heard. Apparently, it was a pretty well-covered election. I think you guys all know who the two major candidates were. So anyway, let me tell you a news story that comes to me from my friend Asha.
Oh,
Asha Bonnie.
Asha Bonnie
sent me a news article.
Mm-hmm.
She's also a descendant of William Bonnie, who's Billy the Kid.
And that's why our friends are cool.
Yes.
If you don't have any kind of pure blood, don't even try.
Right. She's well bred, mm-hmm. but Canadian, so there's a little. It's in the balance. So anyway, she sent me this story about the makeup artists of John McCain and Sarah Palin.
Oh.
John McCain's makeup artist is right out of American Idol. Apparently, he has a makeup artist who used to work on American Idol. Sarah Palin has the So You Think You Can Dance makeup artist, who was nominated for an Emmy. And the article goes on to say, you know, how wasteful she is and how much money she spent. And, you know, she buys all these luxurious things. And on and so forth.
Not the makeup artist, but Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Okay.
Sorry.
I just want to make sure I understood.
I mean, and I think everybody's kind of heard about Sarah Palin being kind of extravagant in her spending.
Yes.
So she got this really expensive makeup artist. The makeup artist's name is Amy Strozzi, and she was nominated for an Emmy Award for her work on So You Think You Can Dance.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's really interesting about Amy Strozzi and why this news article is relevant to you and me in our lives.
I'm riveted.
Amy Strozzi, not a lot of people know this, and it doesn't even show this on her credits in IMDb, used to do like gore and special effects and monster makeup and blood and stuff like that.
Brilliant.
And she used to work on like Tobe Hooper movies.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I actually met her at a party.
You did?
I met Amy Strozzi at a party, and this was before I met you.
Mm.
And
I can see where this is going.
And I started telling her about the Mask of the Red Death.
Mm-hmm.
Mask of the Red Death was an art show that Rachel and I worked on, as well as like teams of other artists. There was probably like 25 artists involved.
Well, then you had met me, but you hadn't met me.
You say that I met you. I don't remember meeting you until I met you at the Mask of the Red Death.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, so it was a big horror Halloween-themed thing. And anyway, so I'm telling Amy Strozzi. I didn't call her Amy Strozzi back then. I only called her Amy.
Oh, okay.
So I'm talking to Amy at this party, and I tell her, hey, we're doing this zombie show, and it's really cool, and I think you like it, and, you know, you do makeup for horror movies. It'd be really cool. You know, this would be really exciting. And her whole attitude was like, yes, yeah, that would be so cool. That would be so exciting. Yeah, I want to do that. Like, it wasn't just like she was doing the hard sell. Like, oh, I want to be involved with this. How do I get involved? Mm-hmm. I want to come to your art show, and I want to do my art and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be so cool. We're going to make it so awesome. And she was like outlining ideas and on and on and on and on. You know, I told her, and then I tried emailing her, and I emailed her a couple times, and nothing, no response, nothing. And finally, I emailed Asha, and I said, "Hey, what's going on with your friend? Like, why won't she respond?"
Mm-hmm.
She sends the emails over to her, and she sent me back the response that Amy sent to Asha.
Yes,
which basically said, "Look, that was just party talk, and I don't understand why he would expect that I would actually follow through with something like that." And, you know, he should have known that it was just BSing. So
she was being very L.A.
She was being very L.A. Mm-hmm. And this was one of my first experiences with people actually being like that. Because, you know, when I'm enthusiastic about something, it's genuine enthusiasm. And at the very least, if I decided, like, I was enthusiastic at the time, I may have the courtesy to say something like, you know what, this isn't going to work for me. I'm not really interested right now. Sorry.
Right.
But nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. The only response I got was the one that Asha sent to me that she had gotten from this chick
in the first place.
So, long story short, even if it's too late, Amy Strozzi did scary makeup on regular people, went on to do regular makeup on scary people.
Yes.
And she's flaky.
And she's a flake. And by the way, in LA, if people are enthusiastic at a party, don't believe that means any kind of commitment on their part.
I don't know if I can actually put that on the show, if I can say that. Because what if somebody types up Amy Strozzi and they look around like, I love Amy Strozzi, and then they look her up. She's Emmy nominated makeup artist.
Who gives a shit?
Well, you know, I don't, especially.
It happened. It's not gonna ruin your career. In fact, it might get more people to listen to the podcast.
Well, maybe she's not flaky. Maybe I just misread her.
It was a misunderstanding.
Maybe it was all a big misunderstanding.
She was just excited, but she never said, I want to do that or I will do that.
She did say, I want to do that. But
oh, how interesting. But that's not flakiness.
But no, it may not be. Depending on your perception of what is and isn't flaky. Mm-hmm. If, for example, you're the kind of person who thinks if somebody says they will do one thing and then don't do it, if you call that flaky, that's your judgment, not mine.
Well, I like this concept of party talk. I like it. I think it's fun. I would like to find more instances of party talk, because in my 35 years on this planet, I've had some party talks. And I've never had anybody come back to me later and go, by the way, because we said this at a party, all rules are off. Like, none of this applies. I can tell you I'm the Pope. Because we're at a party. I mean, that's what you do at a party. You just blow smoke up each other's asses.
But see, that is what you do when you're in L.A.
Well, I've lived in L.A. and I've been to parties in L.A. And I've still not had that experience.
I guess not. I guess that's what the entertainment industry teaches us to believe about the parties.
I suspect that may be true, but I also suspect that may be how she's doing the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Because my experience of the entertainment industry is there's all these opportunities and big things about to come down the pipe, and it's all very exciting all the time, but few of those things actually pan out. Because I've known people that have been on the cusp of their major song being on the next Spider-Man movie, or they're going to sign a record deal, and it's all, and I have to go to this party because I have to meet these people because my agent, blah, 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 all the time. And then you see them the next day at their Whole Foods market job, and they're like, that didn't work out, but that's okay because on Friday, my song's going to be, you know.
let me tell you some really, some of the more positive interaction I had with Amy.
Okay.
I was asking her, you know, how should I do the... At the time, she was like couch surfing. Now, apparently, she's like one of the highest paid makeup artists. So she's made it. She's doing quite well for herself.
Good for her. Yeah.
But at the time, I guess she was just sleeping on people's couches and dating one of Asha's friends, you know. I remember saying to her, like, I wanted to do some blood effects for the zombie movie that we were making. We made a zombie movie back then. And so I was asking her for some advice. And she was saying, you need to get one of those, like, old-fashioned... fire extinguisher things that'll just like kind of squeeze it out, and just like it'll pour out like a hose, like a super soaker or something like that.
Oh,
and I was like, well, isn't that a bit much? Like, can't I just do like a spray bottle or something? And she looked at me like, what a ridiculous concept. Like, why even do gore if it's not gonna be like a ton of it? If it's not just gonna like you need to have a tidal wave here.
I love this story. This is a fascinating story.
Yeah. Well, and apparently Mark was telling me that the cool thing about, because Mark used to be the roommate of the guy that was dating her. That's how she was at this party.
Crazy Mark,
okay. Yes.
Oh, it's all coming together now.
Yes. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. He was telling me that it was cool because she would come to the house with like liter jugs full of fake blood. Like, she would just have blood with her when she showed up.
That's awesome. Rather than money on rent, she was paying money on jugs of blood. You know what? I think this redeems her for her flakiness. I think she's all right. A little weird, maybe.
Yeah.
Strange. Whatever.
Well, you know, and the thing that disappointed me about it was that, you know, her ideas sounded really cool, and I was very excited, and... You know, that's the thing that disappointed me about it. If she had not made it sound so much like I'm willing to make this commitment and then acted like we had never had the conversation, I would never gotten upset. You know, if she had said at the time, you know, you know what I mean? Like, to leave somebody hanging like that or leave them in the lurch, it's not cool. You know, like if you make a commitment with somebody, let them know you want to back out.
I just don't like it when people totally deny reality. Like when you have a conversation that happens in real time and then they come back at you later and go, oh no, that didn't happen. I mean, that's crazy person stuff. Like,
people that, do that
fucking freaks me right the shit out.
Well, so. You know, and it's not even necessarily crazy people stuff, because I think sometimes people know that it happened and they're just telling you it didn't happen because they're like, oh, she won't remember.
But it's crazy making.
Yeah.
Because it makes you doubt yourself. You like go, wait a minute. Oh, now hold on. Maybe what's wrong with me that I thought... You know,
yeah.
That's what pisses me off. Like, I have to second guess it, but whatever. So, oh, I loved that story. That was great. Hey, we saw a good movie, remember?
Yes, we did. Batman.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
We also saw Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Which I enjoyed.
I liked it very much as well. I've been listening a lot to Kevin Smith's podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it gives me a lot of insight to the kind of person that he is, and I think it kind of gives me a deeper appreciation of his art as well.
You know, the sweetness of like a Hallmark after school special?
Mm-hmm.
That element is that quality is present in Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
It is.
And I think only Kevin Smith can do that. I don't think there's anybody else on this planet that can do that.
Well, he's got, and that's the thing too, is that like people tend to ignore, is that he's got a lot of genuine kindness and affection, and he likes people.
Yeah.
You know, and it comes through. It totally communicates that he likes the people that are in the movie. He likes the audience. He has a fondness for people. He's just also very crass and crude, and that's the way he expresses himself.
Gritty, if you will.
Yes, he's gritty and real, like a loose cannon. He's like a loose cannon. So
he's like a modern Mark Twain.
Would you go that far?
Well, no, not really. But you know what it does make me think of is, yeah, Mark Twain did a lot of the local dialect, you know, and he did that really well.
Yes.
What's the word for that? The colloquialisms, if you will. Kevin Smith is also very good at colloquialisms.
Yes. It's very earthy.
It is earthy.
It's like money from home.
But I like Zack and Mary Make a Porno. I thought it was very romantic. It's not... It's exactly what you think it's going to be. Guy and girl are friends. Guy and girl fall in love. Girl's hot. Guy's not. That dude that plays the guy, what's his name?
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, that's like, he's getting like, that's his role every time now. Is the ugly guy who gets the girl. The gorgeous girl. The unlikely candidate.
Do you think he's ugly?
Yes. I would not date him if I just saw him standing there.
What if you got...
If I got to know him, maybe. I have dated guys that are at that caliber that he's at because I got to know them.
Really?
Yes.
Not me, of course.
No, you're hot. Totally shallow. But pretty on the eyes.
Oh, thank you.
No, honey, you're the whole package.
Well,
you're smart and hot.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I have been working out my mind.
I know you have. So, actually, that's true.
So, yeah, I liked it. I liked the film. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I actually really like Seth Rogen, and I think he's dreamy. I would whisk him away in a heartbeat, that Seth
Rogen. If you
Rogen.
Just saw him and he didn't open his mouth, you had no idea what was going on inside. You were just like, you know, you saw the gut. You saw the curly Jewish hair. You saw the nose. And you're like, babe.
Hairy, afro, pasty white guys. You're speaking my language.
All right.
That's my type.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, I think that what surprised me is how much laughter I got from the performance of Jason Mewes in this movie. I think he really blossomed in his acting career. He was hilarious.
He was. He was really funny.
Yeah, I didn't expect it.
Well, and it's interesting because he's playing something different than Jay.
Yes, but,
like,
he is.
What else do we know him as? Ever. He just like plays Jay.
And I won't say he stretched a lot, but he did do something different, and it worked really well, and it was really fun. I think he's kind of getting... He always kind of seemed sort of awkward and stiff before, like he knew he was on camera, but it worked for his character, I think. But, like, he kind of seems to be getting, like, how to do comedy on camera now, and...
Yes.
That's my opinion. That's my professional assessment of his performance, and I thought it was hilarious. They really do make a porno.
What did you think of the porn star chick that was in the...
I thought she was adorable. She was really cute.
She was really cute.
Goofy.
She seemed very, very like a... She was portrayed as a very sweet person.
Totally. Yeah.
And you get to see her entire nudity. You get to see her oh so naked.
Yeah, you do. You get to see the fake boobs. Those had to be fake. There's no way that body could hold boobs like that. naturally created that dynamic. There's just no way.
Do we have anything really insightful to say about this movie, or is it just like
I think
one
it's
of those?
I think it's a good date movie. I recommend it for those of you who want to get to know somebody. Maybe a first date movie, in fact. I would recommend it. It could give you plenty to talk about.
It's even a good movie for you to go and get to know yourself.
It's a family movie. Bring
well,
your kids if they're over 18. Yeah.
Bring your kids. You want to watch that movie with your mom and dad? I don't even like it when people kiss and my mom and dad are there.
Well,
have you ever
I know my mother would loathe it.
Yes.
And she wouldn't get it at all. So no, but if she got it, sure, I'd see it with her if she could get it.
Did you ever watch a movie with your mom and then all of a sudden like the people start having sex or something and you're in the room and your mom's in the room?
That was a lot harder when I was a teenager, but I think I could deal with it just fine now. Although my mom has been known to make really bizarre comments in times like that that make it, like, horrifyingly bad for me.
Like, that's the way I like it?
Yeah, weird things that would indicate that she's got some sort of carnal knowledge or she's making some kind of lewd sexual joke. Like, I think she intends to lighten the mood. And then it just makes it, like, the absolute worst thing that's ever happened in my life.
It compounds it into something horrible.
Yeah, I just want to die in that moment. it's like, fuck, you know?
I tried to see a movie with my mom once, and she started doing shit like that.
Yeah.
And loudly. We were in a movie theater.
Yes,
and she was loudly commenting.
That's the other problem with my mom. Yeah.
On the romantic nature of these characters. I don't even remember what it was. It was something really fucking stupid, this movie we saw. And yeah, it was actually kind of mortifying. And I was like 28 when that happened.
I have to tell you what my mom did to me.
Go ahead.
I think I might have been about 28. We were in line to buy tickets for a movie, a large line on a Friday night full of people. And I think my sister was there, and we ended up talking about body piercing. The subject somehow came up, or tattoos or whatever. And at the time, I had my nipples pierced, but my mom didn't know, and I didn't think it was a big deal. Piercing was very popular in the 90s. Everybody got everything pierced. And so I'm like, well, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal. I have my nipples pierced. And my mom totally kind of like freaked out and overreacted about it. And then within a minute and a half, it was time to order our tickets. And she turned to the young man behind the counter and said, "My daughter just told me she has her nipples pierced. Can you believe that? I can't believe that." And she said it, by the way, really loud.
Oh.
Yeah.
God,
mortifying. I wanted to punch her out cold. Knock her right the fuck down. But anyway. So there you go. Yay, Mom.
So that's wonderful. That's a story where you wanted to punch your mom.
I did. So she couldn't say anything else.
Well, it sounds like your mom was kind of acting like a jerk later.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of this song by Sherry Elf.
Oh, we haven't done this yet.
No, we haven't.
Oh, this is a good one.
We have a song by Sherry Elf, who we love, by the way, who just is such a kind, lovable person. Just check out her website. Her personality comes through in spades. www.sherryelf.com. You can see her art. You can listen to her music. I wrote her a letter and she sent me a CD. So I'm not promising that she'll do that for you, but...
How do you spell Sherry Elf?
Well, it's not the way you would expect.
No.
That's for sure.
Because there's only one way to spell Sherry.
That's right. www.sherielf.com. Sherryelf.com. Here's her song. It's called Jerkulator, off of her album, I'm Forcing Goodness Upon You.
Especially enchanted. show me your tattoo. Oh, I'm a nice girl. I'll be your elevator. I'm a nice girl. I'll be your escalator. I'm a nice girl. I'll be your percolator. I'm a nice girl. I hope you're not a jerk later.
You are a nice girl.
Mon chéri.
Why would anybody ever wrong you? Who was the catalyst for such sentiment? What foul villain? Who lurks in the dark?
You cad, you brute!
Now it's time to ask the tough questions.
That would be our topic for today.
Yes, we will denote it as topic and send it forth and ask it.
For the scientists out there,
yes,
this is today's topic.
Under the phylum questions difficultis, we have the following. A, subsection 1.
Subspecies.
Would you like me to bestow the first question for discussion upon the table?
No, I want to go first.
Go first.
This time.
Go first.
This time I'm going first.
Go first.
Okay, here's the tough question for you. You ready?
I believe so. I just got a little nervous.
Yeah, well, it's scary.
My heart started beating.
Yeah.
I wasn't nervous, and then when I said I'm ready, then all of a sudden I went, oh, shit. All right, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This is no shit one, actually.
Is it bad?
It's bad.
Okay, go.
Okay, here we go.
I'm ready, and I'm going to be honest.
I am in labor giving birth to your child.
Holy Christ, let's stop the recording.
The doctor says, Justin, there's complications.
Oh, fuck.
You have to choose. Are you going to save the baby or your wife? Hopefully by then I'll be your wife. Okay, Rachel.
This woman who you've brought to me. So wait, he says...
You can only save one or the other.
But the doctor says, unfortunately, there are complications. You have to choose the wife
That's
or
right.
the baby.
You have to choose.
Well.
And you and I have not had any previous discussion about this situation, so you have no idea what I would want to do.
Have we had a fight previously?
If I'm a pregnant woman, probably. I'm guessing yes.
This does not bode well for you. Oh, man.
I don't think I'd take pregnancy with a lot of grace, to be frank.
All right. Well, there's that. But then on the other hand, I haven't even met the baby. Like, I haven't
That's
even
true.
Gotten to know the baby. I might not even like the baby. I mean, who knows? I'm certain that the baby is mine, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just putting
Jesus
out
Christ.
All
the...
How old are you? Are you like 90?
No, we'll say this is sometime within the next 5 years.
Who do you think I should pick, Doc? Break it to me. Will the baby be healthy if the baby is born?
Yeah, the baby will be fine.
And
as far as he knows.
And you're not in the room to hear any of this.
They haven't done any assessment to find... You know, there's things you can't know. You can't know if there's brain damage or...
But they're not... We're not discussing this in front of you.
Of course not.
And you'll never know what I pick.
Obviously, I must not be able to be consulted in some way or else hopefully somebody would ask me what I think. But
well,
clearly I can't be asked, so...
If I pick you, will you know that I made the decision to terminate the baby?
Well, I imagine it would have to come out, yeah.
Then I'm letting the baby live.
For real?
Because I'm scared of you. No. No, I mean, right now, with the hypothetical imaginary baby, it's very easy for me to say that I would pick you.
Me too. Right now, with the hypothetical imaginary baby and me not having mother hormones or any kind of attachment to anything, I'd be like, please pick me.
I mean, but who knows what'll change between now and then. I mean, I feel like I would have to pick you.
Well, you'd have to think about raising the baby all by yourself as a single father. And
well, that, and, you know, we could always try
no family
again.
Around.
And we can, you know, I don't know. I think I'd pick you over the baby. Hmm. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a hard one, huh?
Yeah. But what if the baby, like in a parallel dimension, was actually born and you were terminated and then he came back to our dimension to kill me back in time before I got to make that decision because he actually saves our world Terminator style later on?
That's like our multi-million dollar blockbuster summer movie, Call Your Friend Amy. We need a makeup artist.
Yeah, and she'll get right on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is the episode where we just pick one person and badmouth them. Yeah. Tomorrow, our next...
It's easy for me. I've never met this person.
Next time we'll pick somebody else. We're going through the phone book. All right.
What's yours?
Here's my tough question for you.
Okay.
What is the race of people that you are most afraid of?
Well, let me start off by saying I don't believe in race because I'm an anthropologist. We're all a part of the human race. However, if we're talking about an ethnic subculture.
What is the ethnic subculture that you are most afraid of?
Well, I would say that based upon the stereotypes in the household I grew up with and that were imprinted upon me at a tender young age, and then based upon my experiences at Pauley High School, which the majority of people were not white. They were either black or Cambodian or Mexican, I believe. It would be black people. And that's just because that's the only ethnic subculture that I've ever actually felt would do violence toward me in real life, in my real experience. Like, have had moments where I thought, I am in danger of being hurt.
Well done.
Although it's, you know, sucks to say that, but... And I could be wrong.
Well...
It could be a skewed memory. It could be that I got just as threatened by the Cambodian or the Mexicans, but I just remember the black people for some reason.
Well, the question was, who are you the most afraid of?
Right.
So, I mean...
That's the one. That's the one I'm most afraid of. Yep. Wish I wasn't. Ooh, can I ask you that? Can we turn it on you?
Okay, go ahead.
You can't turn my question because you can't be pregnant.
Okay, go ahead. Turn it on me.
What ethnic subculture are you most afraid of?
Well, the people that I'm most afraid of that I've ever had an experience with is white people.
Mm.
It's Southern white people, specifically.
That is an ethnic subculture.
I actually have... when I hear people, and I know that this is complete ignorance and judgmental and everything else, when I hear a certain type of Southern accent, I immediately judge that person. If you grew up around that area, I think you can differentiate between different kinds of Southern accents. So it's a very specific kind that really just like, oh, this person is the kind of person that will want to hurt me. You know, just when I hear that certain lilt to their voice, or this person is not somebody that can be reasoned with, I go into all kinds of judgment about scary Southern white people. That's why I don't like to go to the South. That's why I'm afraid of the South, as a matter of fact. When we were driving cross country, I didn't want to go to all those wonderful places that you wanted to visit.
I wanted to go over the Smoky Mountains, and you flat out refused to do it. You were like, it's not going to happen. And no rationale, logical argument was going to be heard by you.
Well, I mean, you know, and the thing is that I wouldn't mind going there, and I wouldn't. And it's like, and I think that it's way less of an issue now that I'm an adult. But like as a teenager, I felt very real very active hostility towards me growing up where I grew up from people who came from those parts of the country.
Yeah.
I really do believe that those people do still have very strong beliefs about racism and about, you know, things like that. And I never had a lot of rewarding experiences with those types of people. So it makes me wary of them. And if you are a person like that and you're listening, I promise to you that I will do my very best to give you a fair chance. But this is that's just who I am.
Well, that's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't think you're a bad person for hating the white Southern people.
I don't hate them. I fear them. I have a healthy respect for them. Just like you're supposed to respect the ocean.
But it could kill you.
Exactly. When the ocean puts on its white robes, you run.
You know how it's practiced now that when they release a convicted repeat sexual offender into the world who's perhaps in rehab or perhaps whatever, that they publicly put their picture out there and their criminal history and tell the entire neighborhood about it. So my question for you is, do you feel that sexual offenders should have privacy and the same kind of rights that, you know, everybody else has?
Well, here's what I don't understand about this. Sexual offenders, do they go straight into this is their punishment that the rest of their life they're marked as a sexual offender? Or do they do jail time and fines and all that stuff? And then after they do that, then they're kept on the list or whatever?
It's after they're released from prison and they're trying to get back to life as a normal person.
I actually think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I think that's total bullshit. And I think it's bullshit on multiple levels. I think, first of all, you're never allowing that person the opportunity to redeem themselves. And second of all, you're taking away, like, you're doing the same thing that we did to slaves. I mean, or that continues to happen with slavery, is that you're saying this human being is less than any other human being. Granted, this person may have done something completely heinous, but they've done their time. I've got nothing to lose if I know I'm living a life where I'm already cataloged. I'm in this file. I'm not allowed to give out candy at Halloween.
Right.
You know, I already know. What's it gonna hurt if I continue doing the big bad? You know, I don't think it's a deterrent. I don't think that things like that deter people who commit these kinds of crimes.
I don't think that they protect children either, frankly. I think the intention is so that if we have a young child, we can make sure that Johnny doesn't walk down that side of the street anymore. But I actually think it's very ineffective for protecting our children as well.
Yeah, I think it's nonsense. I think that people are essentially good. And I very much believe that if you fuck up, no matter how severe, you can be more than the sum of your accomplishments. But I also believe that if you continuously tell somebody you are shit, you are lower than shit, you are the lowest piece of shit there is, that person will live up to what you have made them or what you have categorized them as. Like, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
If you continue to instill upon somebody you are less than a human being, they will fall in line. And I actually think that if anything, it gives them motivation to continue being shitty people.
I had a friend that I supported in attending a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting, and so I went to that, which was terrifying, might I add, as I was the only woman there. And I met people who had been sexually abused, and as a result were sexual predators and had done jail time and were doing these meetings as a part of their recovery to try to get to a point where they could have real relationships with adults and women and no longer have these urges. And they were talking very frankly about how hard it is for them and how they've literally like driven by and sat outside of school yards and looked at children for hours. But their victory is that they went home and they didn't do anything. you know, and they're at their meeting now talking about it, being honest. And it was like really clear to me, like the level of work they were going through to try to rehabilitate and to try to be healthy people again. And the thought that, you know, the entire neighborhood knows their pick, you know, to try to overcome just their process and to be honest about it and to work hard, very hard at it. And then to also be like pegged by the, you know, everybody knows that you are this person. They know your picture. They know your crime history. To try to reinvent yourself or to try to get back to who you really are, that must be really, really hard to do, yes. You know? And so I had a great deal of compassion. I was also deeply revolted and saddened and terrified.
Well, there's no
reason. I'm not going to lie. They're scary people.
There's no reason not to feel that way towards them, but to say that, like, they deserve nothing in life, you know?
Right.
And then the fact that the law doesn't differentiate between somebody who was having sex with a girl who was willing and then changed her mind, you know? And I'm not saying that rape doesn't happen. Of course it happens. I'm just saying that in a situation where a girl could get vindictive against a guy,
sure,
that guy will be treated the same as somebody who takes a small child. You know, he will go through the same machine, he will get the same treatment, and his life will be ruined in exactly the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I, you know, if you're going to compare it to other crimes where people get hurt, crimes where murder, you know, like I don't get repeat murder person, you know, released, he's living down the street. Frankly, I think that's more dangerous. I don't think it's okay to sexually abuse children, and I think it's horrific, but at least the person lives, you know? So it's a very strange thing that we're doing. We're kind of doing like the Scarlet Letter because, you know, we're deeply offended as a society, and it is offensive, but the lack of compassion, I think. And it's very unpopular to say this.
I don't think
I would sit in a room with strangers and talk openly my opinion about this.
What's so ridiculous is, you know, we've got this whole mentality of like our government is the benchmark of morality, is that our government can decide that when the government kills somebody, that's a decent kill. Like, you know,
that's
what I mean?
Okay,
like
killing.
Like murder,
yeah.
Murder is wrong. And if you do it, we kill you.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I had to totally agree with you about that. But I got an email at my work. A mass email went out to all the staff by the risk management woman about a sexual offender that was released half a block from where we work. And certainly we walk home at night in the dark now, and there's reason to be careful. But at the same time, I wanted to reply to that email and just go off. Like, how could you do this to this man? Like, this is horrific what you're doing to this person, and
you would
I don't
have
want
to
be warned.
You would have to be pretty stupid not to know to be careful walking around that neighborhood at night.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
I work in a very scary neighborhood full of crazy people that scream all the time. Yeah.
We'll keep a lookout for the guy who jacked off in his car.
We'll walk past the guy shooting up on the sidewalk first, and then we'll keep a lookout for the guy who might rape me. Yeah. Maybe.
So, here's a question.
Okay. This is such a dark episode. Everything's turned so dark now.
It has. I wonder if there's anything that's a tough question that isn't quite so hard. Are you attracted to any of my friends?
No.
None of them?
No.
I guess
you have friends that I think are cute. But I'm not attracted to them.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is why I roll with all those ugly dudes. Wow, that's hilarious.
Do you want to go down a list?
Of my friends?
Of your friends, yeah.
And have them listen to it later? No. If you are the person that's like, hey, I'm not an ugly dude, and you're listening, that's because she's not thinking of you. If I said the list, she would say, oh, yeah, that person's attractive.
But, yeah, let me go through it in my head really quick just to make 100%. I'm not, you know what? If you brought somebody into our house or somebody into our lives that I felt attracted to, I would immediately feel uncomfortable and probably tell you about it right away, because that would dissipate the tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then we could have a talk about it and probably be an unpleasant conversation, I imagine, but...
what would be the resolve of that? Would we... Like, what do you think? How would that play out?
I really have no idea. What I'm hoping would happen is that you would say, I really appreciate that you have the level of trust in our relationship that you would be open with me about this, and that you're so committed to our commitment that you're, you know, taking care of this by letting me know, so that, you know, like, you're going to work through it and whatever. Not like I would, even if I was attracted to somebody, like, I'd even take action on that, but I don't like the discomfort. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we'd probably have a discussion about, well, did he do anything to indicate he was interested in you, or why are you feeling uncomfortable? Because attraction is rarely a one-way thing. You know, I mean, I've never had an experience where I've been attracted to somebody and they didn't know I existed or wasn't interested in me at all. So, and maybe I'm just incredibly vain and egotistical, but my experience of it has been, if it continues or if it's powerful enough, it's because there's reason for more than just a one-way experience.
Right.
So, yeah, there'd have to be a discussion about that, too.
Do you think we'd ever bring that person into the discussion?
No, probably not. I don't think that's appropriate.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Would that person still be coming around?
That would be your choice. Ultimately, it's your friend.
That's true. All right. Well done.
Yay. That wasn't really that hard. It's really more funny than anything else. I guess I got lucky because I'm really not attracted to any of your friends. It'd be harder if I was. Okay, so, Justin.
Yes.
We've come home from a late night movie. We're pulling up and there's fire engines everywhere. And as we come into the driveway, we realize that our house, our apartment, is on fire. Now, luckily, our cats are okay. There's the smoke-covered fireman has got them. Meow, meow, meow. Got them in his arms. But the fireman says, strangely enough, throwing all caution to the wind, Rachel and Justin, you have just enough time to run into the house, and if you have important papers or money or something, you have time to recover that before the entire building collapses. What would you run in and get?
What a horrible fireman. That guy.
I know, that's why it's so funny. It's like I give you a free pass go.
Yeah.
It's a free slip.
Are we saying
he's
like
a great fireman. He saved our cats. What are you talking about?
Now, are you saying like what would I impulsively go for, or what would I go for if I actually had time to think about it and plan ahead?
Well, right now you can think it through and plan ahead if you want to. I mean, that's kind of why we're...
Well, I wish it was something really cool. I might grab the Xbox. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
That's funny.
That's so incredibly lame. I don't think I have a lot of things that like, that's the one thing that I can look at and say that has, like, real monetary, at least that kind of value, you know? It could be replaced pretty easily. I guess maybe that's why I shouldn't go for it. My save games, though, those are going to go up in flames, so I'll have to start over on Splinter Cell. Have to unlock my achievements. Yeah, maybe I should get the Xbox. Oh, wait, no.
Scratch.
Yeah, I might have to grab... I don't know. Who cares? what would you grab? I'll think about mine more.
Well, the first thing that came to mind when I asked you the question, strangely, and this is totally replaceable, but it was hard to get, was my passport.
Oh.
Primarily because... it's a great form of ID, and my birth certificate would probably go up in flames, but passport's pretty good. And we like to travel. But I could, well, I can't replace my passport if I don't have a birth certificate, actually. So that it would probably be smart to get something like that.
You know what I would get now that I'm thinking about it more?
Mm-hmm.
I would grab the computer and the microphones and the mixing board.
Yeah, I was going to say, my second thought was my $3,000 Mac notebook, which has got all of our pictures we ever took.
Go for that over the passport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, because like
I would resumes on there, you know.
I would grab this stuff specifically because, like, if we didn't have this, the show would be non-existent. It would be over. And
yeah.
And it actually took a long time for us to get these things and to, we kind of put, I put enough money into it that, it would be a pain in the ass to try to replace it. So I changed it to the computer, mixing board, microphones, and Xbox.
Well, if you're going to have time to really shuffle around, I guess I will grab my passport. I actually have a file called identification that's got my passport and my birth certificate in there and my social security card. So really what I should do is keep that in a fireproof lockbox.
No, you know what, though? Actually, I think I would grab all my artwork.
I wondered if you would grab your artwork. At least your portfolio.
Yeah. There's so many notebooks and sketch pads and things just kind of spread out. Maybe I should get, like, a firebox or something and put it in there.
It's like, yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to get a firebox.
I would be, like I think that would be the thing that after the rubble
when it was
settled,
time to have remorse.
Yes, I would think, like, my entire lifetime of making art, the majority of it is in this house.
Yeah.
And now it's all gone forever. I wonder if that would be incredibly liberating.
That's what's interesting about this. Is kind of a philosophical question, is to what extent is stuff important and to what extent does it tie us down?
Mm-hmm.
And exactly, like, what if having it all be burned would unleash this unbelievable creativity in you to, you know what I mean? To, like,
yeah,
the slate's been wiped clean. Your lifetime of art's gone, but, you know, make more.
I'd grab my idea book.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that in my idea book.
It's funny because, like, I don't really think if there's any... I know there are plenty of objects that I get very attached to jewelry. I get very attached to clothing. If they get lost...
I could fucking care less about
my clothing. For some reason, I find myself really, like, sad that they're gone, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the end, that doesn't really matter. Kind of funny.
If my clothes burnt up, I would have zero remorse for my clothing. I'd be annoyed.
Right.
Because, you know, now I've got nothing to wear. But that wouldn't bother me at all.
Well, like, okay, for example, when we were in London, I bought those crazy socks.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I wear those crazy socks, I get to remember, I literally go back to the moment where we were there and I was buying the crazy socks. And I remember our London visit. And so that's like... That's a visual trigger that brings me back to a moment that I might not otherwise be triggered to go back there. So that's why I get attached to those things. You know?
I wear the tie from London all the time. Doesn't nothing.
You don't get anything. See, yep. That's different for everybody. Different for everybody.
I'd be really annoyed if the iPod got destroyed. Because, you know, yes, it costs a couple $100 or $300 or almost $400, however much it costs, it also represents a lot of fucking work to compile all that music and put it all in there. And so, yes, I'd be pretty annoyed about that. I wouldn't be heartbroken, though. I'd be really, really annoyed.
You're talking about your iPod or your Xbox?
My iPod.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, your iPod was an investment of days of your time.
Mm-hmm. And now, we've been doing the most fun thing here at Camp Ruckus. Over at Casa de Ruckus.
Oh, share with the people and with me.
We've been listening to punk rock
all day
long. Mm-hmm. We've been listening to nothing but punk rock. And it's funny because I grew up as a young man, as a little Justin, as a Justlet, if it were. I grew up listening to a lot of punk rock. And for some reason...
It molded you.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
And we really had this... Rachel and I had this experience today where we realized that we were listening to the exact opposite music growing up.
Mm-hmm. Like, during those tender years where you're highly influenced.
I would not have been your friend.
No, I would have thought you were stupid.
Yeah.
When I was 13, if I had met you, I would have been like, that kid's really dumb.
Clearly, me, with the superior taste in music.
I know.
And doing very well in math, by the way. You would have thought I was stupid and been wrong. You would have been wrong about me. And you know what I would have thought? I would have thought, that chick is so stuck up.
Yep.
And judgmental.
I was stuck up and judgmental.
I will have nothing to do with her.
I fully embrace that. I was a fucking little shit when I was 13, 14 years old. I feel bad for the people who knew me back then.
So today, as a big kind of exciting task, I went back and tried to reclaim some of my youth by downloading just copious amounts of punk rock stuff that I used to listen to.
See, I don't have to do that because I already have on my iPod all the stuff I used to listen to. I don't know if that's a sad thing to admit to or not, but...
Well, you know, but, you know, I think, like, I get pretty bored with music, and I've always had that.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty much since the time I bought my first album, I've been buying music constantly. Like, I'm a huge consumer of music. I used to be on this record club, Dr. Strange Records.
Mm-hmm.
And I would order out of there every other week. I'd get paid every other week, and I'd spend probably $70 on records.
Jesus.
And I would love to get them in the mail. So cool. Get like 5, 6, 7, 12-inch records in the mail and like a stack of 45s. I used to think that was so cool. I listened to every single one of them, too. I'd not own a record that I did not listen to.
Yeah, it would be sad to own a record you don't listen to, don't you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, not to say that I didn't have some stinkers. But, you know, you got to take a chance on shit like that.
You do.
Especially when you're exploring. So, is there anything else you want to say?
Yes, for any of you guys who wanted to know how I was so different from Justin when I was a young woman.
Oh my God, please tell us.
I listened to alternative rock, and my favorite band was Depeche Mode, and my other favorite band was U2.
Depeche Mode and U2. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, right now, I still can't stand U2.
I know.
At all. Depeche Mode, I've grown into, but when I was a teenager, I thought Depeche Mode was the lamest, whiniest crap.
It is kind of whiny.
I hated it so much. It's like, you know, why even play a guitar when you're going to make it play those notes? Or at least those notes in that order. I was way into like No Means No and, oh God, who was I listening to back then? Suicidal Tendencies. And I didn't really like the Misfits that much, but a lot of people did. I really liked the Dead Kennedys and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Operation Ivy. I loved them. Rachel listened to... So, lovingly, I sought out the most formative of punk rock albums that I listened to growing up. And so, of course, I found Operation Ivy, Energy. Fucking... It is the keystone in the development of any interesting person in their childhood. And those of you out there who listen to Operation Ivy, you know what I'm fucking talking about. I played it for Rachel, who had never heard it before. This album's been in existence for 20 years. Rachel's never heard it. Heard it for the first time. And what was it you said?
It sucks.
Can you believe that?
I hate it. Sorry.
Cannot fucking believe it.
Well, that's why you're the musical aficionado of our relationship, is because you have an ear for variety.
Well, you know,
I am stuck.
No, that's not true. It just goes to show you how subjective art is.
That's right. That's what it's about.
It doesn't speak to everybody. I'm sure there's plenty of people that would be offended by how much dislike I have for Morrissey and the Smiths. There's plenty of very interesting people that, for whatever reason, refuse to actually listen to those albums and continue to enjoy them.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the part of our show where we wrap it up in a tight little package.
I have an exciting piece
hot,
of news.
Hot, tight package.
Speaking of tight packages.
Like a girl's ass.
Like a girl's ass. Speaking of girls' asses, my grandma... My grandma and I are going to Mexico this summer.
Yes.
Yes, and we're going to go work on her house.
Good.
And I'm going to meet all of her sisters and all my, I have family in Mexico, people who I've never met before. And so I'm very excited because I have been studying Spanish a lot and I think I'm getting much, much better at speaking Spanish. And I will have, I think, two more trimesters, semesters, quarters, whatever the fuck they're broken up into here. I will have two more sections of Spanish language classes before I fly off. The plan is to go to Costa Rica for a month and then go over to Mexico and have my life experience. I'm going to have, like in The Namesake, I'm going to trace my roots, as it were, and I will go down there with my grandma and we will work on her house and we will make sure that it has electricity and plumbing and I will whip the burros and I will...
You will milk the cows.
I will milk the cows and I will... The ships in the fields.
You will chafe the wheat.
I will chafe the wheat. I will run the kite.
That's very... I'm very excited for you about
I'm
that.
Totally excited. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff... This is the kind of experience people have and then write novels about. So I'm very, very excited about it.
Well... That will be fun. And that will be my opportunity to have sex with your friends that I'm attracted to.
Nice. Thank you. All right. So until then, I continue faithfully, as always, to be Justin.
And I'm Rachel. And you should go start a ruckus until you see us ruckusing again.
www.theruckus.wordpress.com. startaruckus@gmail.com. We have a friend who tests things on rabbits. Or not rabbits, mice.
Mice.
Mice. Motherfucking mouse killer. You know what I mean? Things get tough, you call him the motherfucking mouse killer. He's got to drop a fool.
And the Russian girl. Where is the mice?
I will make with the killing. Is that Russian?
That sounded actually more like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I will make with the killing.
I want to kill the mice. Where are the little mice?
Seems to enjoy it.